The scenes on TV last week from the protests outside the Republican National Convention in St. Paul were pretty spooky. Tear gas or chemical irritants being set off. And all 800 people were arrested, some before the demonstrations. Journalist Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Was one of those arrested when she tried to intervene on behalf of her two producers who were being arrested while covering the event.
Sir, I want to talk to you.
Back up. That's Amy Goodman getting arrested. More than a few of you last week requested that we do a program on what happened in St. Paul and whether police overstepped their bounds or if the protesters were out of line. So we'll do that this hour with a guest who says police are often too aggressive in their efforts against protest groups, and last week wasn't an isolated example. Matt Rothschild is editor of the Progressive magazine, and he is the author of the book You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. And Matt joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Hey, Joy, thanks for having me back on, especially on this really important topic.
Well, yeah, this was, what was going through your mind when you saw these scenes of all these people getting arrested and all these protests going on?
Well, to me, it was obvious that excessive force the police were using. Again, we've seen that many times in our country against dissidents. But the thing that really struck me was this apparatus of repression that the Bush administration has set up after 9/11 is being used, you know, not against Al-Qaeda, but against, you know, a group called Food Not Bombs. I mean, we always thought, some of us on the progressive side, that some of these laws that were put in, like the Patriot Act that Senator Feingold so bravely opposed and some of these other laws and executive orders would ultimately be used against dissidents. And I think what we saw in St. Paul was that they are being used against dissidents now. I mean, a group like Food Not Bombs. I mean, this isn't exactly linked to Al-Qaeda. And, you know, when a government infiltrates groups and they were soliciting infiltrators, moles, spies, spooks up in Minneapolis to go into nonprofit groups and spy for the police, when they preemptively arrest people and detain people, some for 55 hours. And then when they arrest dissident media, I mean, is that really the America that we're supposed to be living in? Is that the America that we used to hold up to other countries? Or is this something a little more frightening?
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the arrests that happened even before the protests were going on in the streets. The group, there was a group that had it's considered a group of anarchy that was trying to help protesters protest. What happened before the demonstrations?
Well, several people's homes, the things that are supposed to be most protected in our Constitution, were surrounded by police. Police barged in with suspect warrants and at gunpoint pushed the homeowners aside and handcuffed the homeowners and ransacked the buildings and ransacked the homes and arrested the people there. And they were supposed to have, you know, all sorts of Molotov cocktails and dangerous weapons. You know, up in Minneapolis and St. Paul, they found two rusty hatchets. You know, it's not exactly the material that you would use in a violent, assault on the Republican National Convention. And I think people were horrified by being held at gunpoint, as you and I can only imagine, and your listeners can only imagine. And why this kind of excessive force, and why sending people undercover to these groups? They were clearly not, you know, Al-Qaeda terrorist groups. At most, they were dissident groups here in the United States. And typically what's happened is you wait until someone's committed a crime before you arrest someone. I mean, we could arrest everybody in St. Paul and in Minneapolis or everyone coming in on 94 up there and try to hold people preventively, and you could have a real safe convention there. But that's not what we're supposed to have in this country.
And they were charged with terrorism charges.
Eight of these people were held, they were members of a group called the RNC Welcoming Committee. They were charged with conspiracy to riot in furtherance of terrorism. Now, there are two parts of that that both of them are disturbing to me. Conspiracy to riot. This goes back to the Chicago Convention in 68 and also to sedition trials against conspiracy to commit sedition back in against World War One. Conspiracy charges are about the broadest charges you can throw against someone. Basically, you don't have evidence that they've committed a crime yet, but you think, well, they may be up to committing a crime. It essentially amounts to preventive detention and arrest for thought crimes. Which we shouldn't have in this country. We've had them before. But this furtherance of terrorism is even more troubling to me, Joy, because all these laws about terrorism after 9/11 were supposed to protect us from attacks from, you know, Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda that want to destroy this country and kill, you know, 3,000 people or more. And, you know, this group, the RNC Welcoming Committee, hardly has any coloration of Osama bin Laden and Ayman Zawahiri.
Yeah, the father of one of the women arrested in these pre-demonstration raids said the RNC Welcoming Committee is a group that defines itself as anarchist or anti-authoritarian, and his daughter was working with them closely. They saw their role as facilitating the protests and the actions around the Republican National Convention. Their major function was to help other people from out of town come and express what they wanted to express. And there's nothing wrong with that, Matt Rothschild.
No, and they may be, they face up to 7.5 years in prison.
We're talking with Matt Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine. He is also the author of the book, You Have No Rights. We're talking about the arrests that took place last week before and during the Republican National Convention. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Matt says that often police authorities are too aggressive in their efforts against protest groups, and these arrests last week, not an isolated example. We'll talk about some others as well when we come back from this weather break. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, September the 9th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. Coming up after 5 o'clock, Ben and his guest will talk about how and when to use a credit card. Some financial advice coming up after 5 o'clock. We're talking with Matt Rothschild about the protests outside the Republican National Convention last week. The protests captured some attention, and so did the police efforts to keep them under control. Talking about whether the police overreacted in dealing with protesters. Did they overstep their bounds by arresting so many? Some weren't even demonstrating. They were covering the protests as journalists. Matt says yes, and that this isn't an isolated example of this happening. In fact, Matt, you've been writing about this on the Progressive website, and you also have plenty of examples in your book, You Have No Rights.
Yeah, it's something that's concerned me ever since 9/12, really, how the U.S. government was going to respond to that horrible attack that is now 7 years almost to the date away. And just from being a student of U.S. history, I mean, I understood, as I'm sure many of your listeners understood, that the U.S. government has a history of repressing civil liberties in times of war. And so my antennas were up, and I have recorded more than 300 incidents on our website at progressive.org, and there are about 83 in that book, You Have No Rights. So this wasn't a shocker to me here at the Republican Convention. Actually, in 2004, in the Republican Convention in New York, they had mass arrests of people who were under no suspicion of doing anything wrong, were just marching down the street, and they just grabbed everybody in one block areas. Of course, now they have to cough up millions of dollars after losing a lawsuit to the ACLU. That is, the New York Police Department has to. So there's real clear precedence for this, but This arresting of not only protesters but journalists was especially distressing to me. I mean, you have Amy Goodman and two of her producers there. There was an AP reporter who was also arrested. They broke into a home where there was some indie media people, eyewitness, kind of independent media people engaged in journalism, and it was as though it didn't matter.
Yeah. In the news yesterday, authorities in Minneapolis and St. Paul say they will review police tactics that were used during last week's Republican National Convention, and they will investigate complaints of excessive use of force. St. Paul Police Chief John Harrington says his department's strategy evolved day to day. For example, after police learned that protesters were trying to get police to chase them around, the police began blocking people into one area where they couldn't run around. The Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Ryback says he's proud of how officers handled protests in his city, but he says he will assess the police response. A spokesperson for the mayor's office says it isn't exactly clear yet what the review will entail. So, a reaction to that, Matt?
Well, it doesn't look like there's much to be proud of from the footage that I saw and the coverage I saw in print. Certainly, they used, you know, every so-called non-lethal weapon they seem to have in their arsenal, which was very excessive. And Amnesty International has called for an investigation, so I'm glad they're going to investigate. But when Amnesty International, you know, draws attention to alleged violations of human rights right here in our own soil, I think it raises an eyebrow.
To the phones we go. Tom in Lancaster. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm tooling down the road here right now, so please forgive me if I fade in and out.
Okay.
I have to disagree with what's being said about the Republican convention. I'm a tour bus driver. I was there with the 330-some tour bus drivers that were trying to take the delegates back and forth from their hotels to the convention center safely. We had numerous times where they were blocking buses. They were had 5-gallon buckets of feces that they were getting ready to throw at us. One of our drivers had a brick thrown through his windshield where he got cuts. You know, and that's some of the stuff. And then also in Minneapolis and St. Paul, or in Minneapolis when they had that anarchist concert, they all came out and came, you know, marching down 6th and 7th Street, and causing a lot of havoc, destroying things along the way, and threatening some of our buses as we were trying to take people back to their hotels. So, you know, I was there, saw it firsthand, and saw a lot of people, you know, that were doing peaceful protesting, but there was that handful out of that group that were trying to incite things further. And one other thing that I'll say, and I think you probably have it in your news reports, there was one person where they trapped the 200 to 250 people on the last night on the I-94 bridge, had a gun on them.
Yeah, so you don't think there was any excessive use of force, that the police were justified in using the tactics they used in controlling these crowds?
I totally believe that because, you know, they were those few that were trying to cause all the problems were actually trying to get police to shoot at them. And, you know, what they wanted was for one person to get killed so they could start, you know, claiming police brutality and et cetera.
Why do you say that?
Why do I say that? Because
yeah.
That's just the type of people that they are. They're anarchists. They try to incite things that, you know, wouldn't normally happen with the peaceful protesters.
Yeah, but you're just guessing that's what somebody wanted. Tom, you don't know that for a fact. And Matt Rothschild, what's your reaction to
Well, I'd be surprised if anyone wanted the police to go kill one of their colleagues. But, you know, as Tom says, if someone is breaking the law, that's what the police are for. If someone throws a brick through a window, they should be arrested. If someone has a gun and doesn't have a permit for the gun or is waving around in public, which is against the law, they should arrest that person. But to preemptively arrest people, or to arrest people because they're marching down the street peacefully, or to arrest people because they're at a so-called anarchist concert, I don't think that's what we're supposed to do in this country. I don't want to live in a country where you can't go to a concert.
Yeah, 800 arrests, too. That seems like, I mean, I don't think 800 were throwing bricks through windows.
No, and a lot of these people were, as happened in New York City in 2004, were rounded up simply because the police cordoned off an area and told everyone, if you're in this area, you're going to be arrested, and with no suspicion or predicate that they were committing a crime. and that is illegal arrest, false arrest, and shouldn't happen in here. And also some of the things that happened prior to the protests with police coming in at gunpoint. Let me just read something from Bruce Nestor, the president of the Minnesota chapter of the National Lawyers Guild, who's representing some of these protesters. I was personally present and saw officers with riot gear and assault rifles pump action shotguns when they went into some homes. The neighbor of one of the houses had a gun pointed in her face when she walked out on her back porch to see what was going on. There were children in all of these houses, and the children were held at gunpoint. Children held at gunpoint. That's really not the America I want to live in.
Tom, thank you for calling with your perspective as someone who was there. Lenny in Madison is with us now. Hi, Lenny. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say that the police up in St. Paul were Ramsey County Sheriff in particular. They were after the RNC Welcoming Committee. They were targeting eyewitness video who documented a lot of the New York Police Department's actions in 204 at the Republican National Convention there, which resulted in over 70% of those cases being thrown out of court. And I saw that footage of when the police went into that house with their guns drawn, and there were children in that house, there were journalists in that house. They were going through people's belongings. They were seizing journalists' laptops and cameras and video cams and notebooks and all of that stuff. In my opinion, it didn't have anything to do with any anarchists or any troublemakers or anything like that. That was preemptive. It was intentional. And since I've been in law enforcement, I know that for a fact. It was intentional. And that's all I got to say about it.
All right. Thank you, Lenny. Matt?
Well, I think Lenny raises a point that is very disturbing, and that is this this arrest of dissident media. I mean, there you have eyewitness, this eyewitness video group. Obviously, the police knew who they were because they had covered some police brutality in New York City and also, I believe, down in Katrina in New Orleans. And then, of course, the most famous dissident journalist in America, Amy Goodman herself, was arrested, as were two of her producers, Sharif Abdelkoudos and Nicole Salazar. And there was an AP photojournalist who was taking pictures of some of the police actions, Matt Rourke, and he was arrested. I mean, this is something, you know, that used to be we saw kind of during the Olympics in China, and we'd expect this maybe in Beijing, but do we expect it in St. Paul?
Yeah. Well, we're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will take more of your calls for Matt Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine, author of the book You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. Matt says, we just saw one of those stories last week outside the Republican National Convention with all of the arrests of protesters before and during the demonstrations. We wonder what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Tomorrow during this hour, by the way, we will recap the primary election results from today and look forward to the general election. That's tomorrow between 7 and 8. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Tuesday, September the 9th. We are talking about the protests outside of the Republican National Convention last week in St. Paul, and the police efforts to keep those protests under control. Many are saying the police were too aggressive in their efforts against the demonstrators. And we are talking with one of them, Matt Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine, also author of You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. And we welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I want to start, Matt, with an emailer, Ray in Chilton. In addition to the police misconduct, My concern is that I didn't see anything about this in the print media. I only learned about this on the internet. I wasn't watching television at the time. Why wasn't this given more media attention? Any ideas, Matt?
Well, I think the mainstream media behaved terribly here. They were very irresponsible. They didn't give the police brutality the coverage that it deserved, and they didn't give the repression of the media personnel the attention it deserved. I imagine if Katie Couric had been arrested, or if Charlie Gibson had been arrested. I mean, here we have Amy Goodman. She's the host and executive producer of Democracy Now!, which is seen on more than 500 TV stations or heard on more than 500 radio stations around the country. And it was one mention that I saw in the New York Times in about paragraph 8 of a paragraph of an 11 paragraph story. And that was it. There wasn't comment from Amy Goodman. There was just reporting that she'd gotten arrested. And, you know, of all people, the mainstream, the editors of the mainstream media or producers of the mainstream media ought to give coverage when media personalities, and I don't mean personalities in a pejorative way, real leaders of the independent media in this country are being arrested.
Yeah. Amy Goodman. Yeah, you're right. She didn't. I don't have a transcript of a program she did on her own arrest, but she did do a program about those who were arrested before the demonstrations and talked to people involved with those who were raided.
Yeah, I got a lot of my coverage from democracynow.org, which I go to every morning to see what Amy Goodman is covering. And yes, in the lead up to her arrest, that is, she had a couple stories each day about the repression by the police, and then the police nab her and two of her producers.
Yeah. Well, let me take another call. John in Baraboo is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, John.
My question for you is whether or not this is isolated to only Republican national conventions, or is this something that occurs at Democratic national conventions also? It appears that there's an attempt to draw a line between allegedly illegal arrests of peaceful protesters and Republican national convention, and I'll take my comments off the air.
Great question, John, and you're absolutely right. It happens at Democratic conventions as well. It happened in Denver. The ACLU put out a press release denouncing the Denver law enforcement agents for ordering a reporter off a public sidewalk and pushing him into the street and then later arresting him. The ABC reporter, Asa S. Locker, is the name of the reporter, and you know, that was an outrageous arrest, and it shows the indifference that law enforcement has to the press. It doesn't matter whether it's Democratic convention or the Republican convention.
Thank you, John. Bob in New Richmond is with us now. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. Mr. Rothschild, I am always impressed by your magazine.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to inject a little bit of, I guess, complexity into it. I'm a lay minister and a college professor. But I am very sympathetic to anarchism and anarchist sympathies. I went over on Labor Day with a 17-year-old member of my church, and we joined the anarchist groups. And now I can't really say for the rest of the week, but for Monday, I would say about 99% of the police were very professional, very efficient. There was a huge presence, of course, but I come to expect that when I attend a protest now. There were incidents that we saw where there was a lot of overkill when individuals were arrested. I saw at least three or four incidents where the reaction by individual police was way out of line with what happened. My friend who went with me, in fact, we were separated late in the afternoon, and he was arrested later on. He was very badly bruised, not just bruised. He's got scrapes up and down one side, and he's got a very pronounced boot print on his shoulder blade from where he was being held down while being arrested.
Well, yeah,
most of my experience was actually pretty positive. There were just the occasional individuals.
So
kind of go beyond it.
Maybe some police overreacted, but for the most part, Bob says he doesn't think all of them did.
Well, I should hope that not all of them did. I mean, there's a real problem when, you know, you have the police, they're armed, they have all these fancy equipment, they have these so-called non-lethal weapons, and they are using them in inappropriate ways. Not all of them, not every police officer in St. Paul was abusing his or her authority, but from the video that I saw, there certainly were some who were doing that, and we can't have that from law enforcement, and we can't have preventive detentions. We should not have infiltration of nonprofit groups or peaceful groups, and you know, and we shouldn't have members of the media arrested for doing their jobs. And certainly some of the, I mean, Amy Goodman and her producers and that AP reporter all thought that the police used excessive force in their own individual detentions.
Yeah. Bob, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Your friend who you went there with, the 17-year-old, why did he have a boot print on his back?
Well, I wasn't there when he was arrested, so I kind of have to go by his story and by the arrest report that we got a copy of. He was about three blocks from the confrontation on Kellogg, but that's where we got separated. And he says somebody asked him for a lighter. He started to rummage in his backpack, and he was told to put the pack down and put his hands above his head from behind. And he did put the pack down, but he put his hands out at his sides and was tackled, and six officers were involved with arresting him. They eventually charged him with conspiracy to incite a riot because he called for help while he was on the ground.
Well, that kind of sounds like an overreaction, doesn't it, Bob?
It was very much. Oh yes, there were definitely individuals, and I agree with Matt's taking exception to. I mean, we hold police to a higher standard, and we need to. But at the same time, it's kind of come to a point in our political process where we need to, I suppose, prepare for the worst.
Maybe. This kid, had something in that backpack, Matt Rothschild, and the police got to do what they got to do.
Well, I don't know the specifics. You know, mm-hmm. I heard Bob's account of what happened. I mean, the police could ask, you know, to look at the backpack and go through the backpack if they were suspicious of it. But to, you know, plant a boot on the guy's shoulder so hard that there's still an imprint on it a week later, seems to me pretty good evidence that the police overreacted.
Yeah. Bob, thank you very much. I'm surprised we're hearing from a number of people who were there. Maybe you were there, too. Or maybe you just have a question or a concern for Matt Rothschild. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're talking about the protests during the Republican National Convention in St. Paul last week and all of the arrests, 800 arrests made before and during those protests. Matt Rothschild says that the authorities overreacted. Matt Rothschild, editor of the Progressive magazine, also author of You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, September the 9th. Stay tuned. Coming up, we will talk with the national political correspondent for The Washington Post, David Broder, about the presidential election and whether or not the political divide in the U.S. today can be bridged. That's coming up in our next hour. David Broder coming to Madison tomorrow to speak on that issue, and we'll have a preview in our next hour. We're talking with Matt Rothschild during this hour, editor of The Progressive, and our next caller is Abby in Neenah. Hi, Abby. You're on the air.
Hi. Before I get to my question, I just want to say thank you for covering this because I haven't seen it in any other traditional media.
You're welcome.
My question is, do you think that those associated with the RNC welcoming committee and those charged with conspiracy will be prosecuted, or will the charges be dropped? Do you think the charges will stick?
Well, I have no idea. I mean, I imagine they won't be dropped right away. I suspect there will be some time while the prosecutors consider the case that they have, and they may go forward. They may ultimately drop the charges. I don't know what's in their head right now. I think it would be embarrassing for them politically to drop the charges right now, though, Abby. So I can't imagine that would happen.
Yeah, I'm looking at a piece that was in the Minnesota Daily. And it says the city of St. Paul's $10 million insurance policy that was procured in April may not run dry, but the city is looking at potentially hundreds of lawsuits as the arrests piled up last week. So apparently they're wondering about whether these, maybe not even the charges may not stick, but there might be some lawsuits.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, the city of St. Paul has some liability, and they did get that insurance policy beforehand. So they were aware of that possibility. And New York City has had to shell out a lot of money. Denver's had to shell out some money for prior acts of illegal arrest and detentions. It wouldn't surprise me that St. Paul has to fork some money over. Ultimately, I don't know about the case of the RNC Welcoming Committee. There may be prosecutions on the one side and then lawsuits that St. Paul has to fork money over on the other.
Now we go to Amanda in Decorah, Iowa. Hi, Amanda. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My boyfriend was up there last week, so he's been following this pretty closely, and what he saw was horrible and scary, and I was wondering if you've heard about what happened to Elliot Hughes.
I have not. My producer did run in a news story. Why don't you tell us what you know, Amanda?
Well, I basically just saw the press conference he had, and it's a little clip on YouTube. You can check it out. Elliot Hughes, H-U-G-E-G-H-E-S, and he's a 19-year-old who was at the RNC. He didn't state in that, at least I don't remember him stating if he was protesting or not, but he was knocked off his bike by another police officer on a bike. And the police officer was like, it's okay, he didn't mean to, he didn't do anything wrong. And two other, I don't know if they were riot police or what, but they arrested him. They took him to jail with a bunch of other people. He was withheld food for 12 hours. So he and I believe the other people in his cell started chanting for food, and after a little bit, I believe five of the jailers came in, and one of them punched him, knocked him out. The other one woke him up by slamming his head into the concrete, and then they put a plastic or some sort of bag over his head, tied it on, and he vomited into the bag. They didn't take it off, and these are his words. They tortured him for another hour, and he said that they used different scare tactics, etc., on him. But anyways, I thought this was horrible, and he was only 19. He's a really small guy. And
well, I bet you there will be a lawsuit over that one, Matt Rothschild.
Well, the thing is, it wasn't on the media, the mainstream media. There's been hardly any coverage on this, and I was wondering if you'd heard of this.
Yeah, like I said, I had not until my producer ran in a story. Is that an Associated Press story?
It's a Minneapolis Star Tribune story.
Yeah, so it's at least maybe not getting a lot of attention, but it is. It was in the Minneapolis paper.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Any further reaction, Matt?
Well, I mean, I'm glad Amanda called, and these are the kinds of stories that I think we'll hear more of, and these are the actions, or at least the alleged actions, that are going to make the city of St. Paul and the police department there liable for lawsuits, as you suggested, Joy.
Yeah, and apparently Elliot was not says he was not protesting at all. He was there. Amanda, you say your boyfriend is there. Was he there to protest or to observe or to?
He was there to protest. Mm-hmm. My brother and his friends were actually at the Rage Against the Machine concert, and two of the friends actually arrived. They got off the light rail, and all of a sudden, they said they were surrounded by riot police, and they didn't know where to go, and it didn't seem like anyone knew where to go, and it was just a complete mess. And another comment I wanted to make was that if there are thousands of cops up there and only a handful of anarchists, as was said prior, then why do they need to arrest hundreds of innocent people? when they have such a large police force who could have controlled a handful of people probably relatively easily.
Do you have an answer to that, Matt?
Well, I think, you know, they were trying to round up as many people as they could. I mean, that was the kind of the blanket law enforcement policy, you know, arrest them, detain people for a long time, including, you know, up to 36 hours or in one case I saw 55 hours. So if you're there to protest and you're held for 36 hours or 55 hours and you want to protest, you know, Sarah Palin's speech, you're out of luck. Or if you want to protest McCain's speech, you're out of luck. So, you know, that really is to take people's rights to dissent away. And then a lot of these people were held on civil misconduct charges, or and the bail was excessive. Most people who are held for disorderly conduct, for instance, aren't given high bails and are allowed to go home. And so this was discriminatory in that way as well.
Yeah. Well, here's another section of the story from the Minnesota Daily, though. Protests started peacefully last week but turned destructive. Splinter groups from the coalition to march on the RNC broke shop windows, threw newspaper boxes into the street, assaulted police and media, and spread caltrops to impede traffic before authorities broke up the impromptu riot. The rest of the week followed suit as protesters used makeshift smoke bombs, flares, feces, and urine in their protests. The police reacted with force, pepper spray, tear gas, rubber bullets, and concussion grenades. Authorities deny using rubber bullets, but witnesses and journalists report them being used. And it goes on. But, Matt, some of these protesters were getting out of hand, it sounds
like. Yeah, and they should be arrested. I mean, I saw some footage of people, jumping on top of a police car or breaking windows, and that's against the law, and they should be arrested. But to arrest people who are doing nothing to arrest people preventively, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah. There was another email I wanted to pass along here and get your reaction to. Carl in La Crosse says, "This isn't just the police. The military and intelligence agencies are involved, along with cooperating government entities and InfraGuard, all to spy on and to arrest innocent Americans. This is like having a secret police and the KGB in America." Carl, right?
Well, Carl is right. I mean, Carl raises something that is extremely disturbing to me, and I've been trying to do some reporting on it at theprogressive.org, and that is about something that's called fusion centers. Fusion centers are amalgams of police departments at every level up to the state police and including the FBI. And Homeland Security has required there be fusion centers in every state. Wisconsin has one. It's called the Wisconsin Statewide Information Center. And then some of these work with the private sector. Carl mentioned InfraGuard, which is a group of 27,000 business people that work with the FBI. And there are local offices of InfraGuard in Madison and in Milwaukee. And I've written about that. And the really disturbing thing is that if you a couple things. One, the private sector works with them and terrorism liaison officers. That's another organization group that people should be aware of. It's called terrorism liaison officers. We have those in Wisconsin. And what's happened now is that even if you're a peaceful protester, anti-death penalty protester somewhere, and the police are arresting you or spying on you, and you haven't committed any crime, the information, that spying information, goes not just to the local police department that's spying on you, but in some cases goes all the way to the National Security Agency. That's what happened with a guy I was reporting on in Maryland called Max Abushevsky, who was a death penalty protester. And there, with the fusion center there, they spied on this guy for hundreds of hours, and they passed the information all the way up to six or seven law enforcement agencies up the chain, including the National Security Agency. So why the National Security Agency should be concerned about someone who is opposed to the death penalty in Maryland is beyond me.
Only a couple minutes to go, Matt. Not even. Mary from Madison asks, Matt, what can we do to restore our basic freedoms?
Well, I think we've got to demand both in the street and with our legislators that they go about restoring our liberties. And by that, they need to repeal aspects of the Patriot Act and Patriot Act II, which are increasingly repressive. They need to examine these fusion centers, as the ACLU has urged lawmakers to do. They've got to look at some of these regulatory changes that the Bush administration is railroading through. The Bush administration just put down a new regulation that would allow law enforcement all across the board to share information, as they did in this case of Max Abashevsky in Maryland. So there's a lot that we need to do here to kind of unravel the web of repression that Dick Cheney and George W. Bush have been spinning these last 8 years.
Well, Matt, thanks very much for coming in. We'll talk to you soon, I'm sure, on the Week in Review or another time.
My pleasure, Joy. Thanks.
Matt Rothschild, editor of The Progressive, also the author of You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. And I'm sure you can read more about this story on The Progressive's website as well. Thanks to Rob Ferret for producing this hour. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Cynthia Schuster for on-air production and direction. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.